language groups and circle time, fun times via Zoom for these families. So we were able to really persevere through all the challenges that COVID-19 brought about. After we opened, we reopened very, very safely with a very, very staggered intake as well for children. We didn't want to bring in the ones who were medically fragile first. We really analyzed our caseload and looked to see who were the best ones to come in first and trial that, see how it worked with very, very strict protocols, sanitization in between, wearing a face mask, wearing a face shield. For some, it was difficult for, because I do a lot of speech and articulation therapy, so you had to see my mouth, so we've learned how to incorporate using the face shield in addition to distancing to help. Right now, as we go into, it's not a lockdown, but more, you know, more cautious on safety procedures, I'm actually looking to get these screens to put on the table so that they can still see my face with that distance in and have that screen in place. Because, you know, our client safety and protection is our main priority. So we're looking and putting all those measures into place all as we speak.
Well, Sharika, I must congratulate you for the excellent service that you do provide. And, of course, salute you for the wonderful steps you're taking, not only to safeguard yourself and your staff, but also your clients and their families and caregivers. Now, what would you has been one of the most rewarding moments or situations for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's hard to give one specific case because I've been doing this now. This is exactly 11 years, January. It's been 11 years. So I've had so many great clients and so many success stories. But I would say that my biggest reward, and it never, ever, ever gets old, is when a child moves from being completely nonverbal to being able to communicate and to being able to talk and interact and function within their society, within their classroom, just from being not having any sort of communication skills at all. I love to see that progress and that move. And just to see the parents' face when that happens is always very, very rewarding. Being in this from you know, for 11 years, I've seen children who saw me when they were 2 and 3 now, you know, shouting me when you know, I bump into them somewhere and they're, what, 12, 13, and say, oh, I remember when I used to come to you for speech therapy. So, you know, and just seeing them and then telling me about their lives and where they are now, that's always just so rewarding. I would say also, particularly in the case with children who are on the autistic spectrum, and I'm able to use that as, you know, a message of hope for my new parents who are coming in, who are at that starting point where their children aren't talking or communicating. And I can tell them, you know what, I have a 14-year-old that the parents are telling me that they're talking, you know, their ears off and one shut up now, right? So that's always a rewarding moment.
Okay. Conversely, what would you say has been one of your most disappointing moments?
In terms of disappointing moments, I'm still a little bit disappointed that there isn't that a greater access to services on a government scale, that we still are the same place where I was 10, 11 years ago when I moved back home, where there was a huge waiting list for services at the Albert C. Green Development Center with polyclinics, that we still don't have speech therapists in schools. So that's my biggest disappointment, I would say, from an educational and a governmental level, that we still aren't able to provide support, which is so necessary for teachers just in classrooms and expanding out to the wider community to help children who are delayed, who have language difficulties, who have literacy difficulties. I mean, as therapists, we can only advocate so much. There are only so few of us here. We push so much for advocacy, but we can only advocate so much. The onus falls on, you know, the educational system, the governmental system, to push even further to get, you know, these support systems in place.
Okay. Well, Sharika, I really want to say thank you very much for sharing with us today. I think this has been a very insightful conversation. And I would want to encourage parents, guardians, to really heed what Sharika Bentham, our speech and language therapist, has been sharing with us today. Take bold steps to help that child, your grandchild, your nephew, your niece, your cousin, to really improve their speech and language skill and be able to represent themselves as they grow older and fit right into our society. Is there any final word you want to share with us, Sharika?
Yes. I just want to overemphasize again that early intervention is key. If you see something, speak to your pediatrician, speak to your preschool teacher, call a speech and language therapist, put it in Google, speech and language therapy, and contact us, because sometimes it just needs a call to ask a few questions. We're always open to questions, right? If you want to say, my child isn't doing yet this, should we be doing this at this time? You know, we're always able to answer a question, point you in the right direction.
Okay. Are you on Facebook, Twitter?
I am.
Instagram?
I would say I'm on. I actually have a program on Instagram, which I do in partnership. It's an early intervention program where we just create public awareness and education for the general public. I do it with my colleague in Philadelphia, and it's called EIEIO. So on Instagram, that is EI_EI_OH_. And we give lots of early intervention tips. We share information and knowledge. And then my personal website is easyspeakenterprises.com. And I try to share blog posts and information there. So that's easyspeakenterprises.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you once again for sharing with us. And I want to wish you a very healthy, prosperous, and productive year ahead.
Thank you so much. I wish the same for you.
Thank you. Well, I'm continuing my conversation today with our special envoy for persons with disabilities in Barbados, Miss Rosalyn Hurley. Rosalyn has cerebral palsy, and part of the condition, she has impaired speech. Now, Rosalyn, welcome to the program, Visions.
Good morning, thank you for having me. A happy new year to you.
And a happy new year to you as well. And I wish God's blessings on all the work that you do throughout the year. Good health and prosperity.
Thank you.
Now, Rosalyn, as our listeners will hear, you have a speech impairment. And I remember a conversation only recently. You said to me, well, I see my speech as normal. It doesn't sound any different when I'm in conversation with people. But then when I listen back, I hear my impairment. So tell us a little more about that thought.
Okay. Okay, start from the beginning. For years, I didn't realize that I had a speech impairment, because as I tell you, when I talk, I have the most beautiful voice, so I never really understand. So when people tell me things and try to put me down when you don't start talking, you can't talk. I think it is only that I start speaking up on different topics of the disabled. I listen to that. And I was even ashamed to hear my own voice. Then I listen to that at the front and I say, well, that is how I sound. I can't even say the words how I sound. So then I start to understand what people were saying, that because of people keep pushing me down and telling me, keep talking with you, you can't talk good. And even somebody wants people talk to that, I get more stubborn. I can say, I persist and persist and persist. And throughout the years, I find that people more understanding. And sometimes I wonder if I am being discriminated because of what I speak. And sometimes I even wonder about the deaf also. Mm-hmm. I wonder when the deaf keeping those songs, if they can understand, if their song gets like me also, because it is so funny, I can't get it explained that I got such a beautiful voice where right. I listen to myself, but then I would call my voice. I don't even want to hear my voice, and then it's like either phoning to do with the program. I don't listen back to my voice. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate persons. It's like John and certain people at the other, and certain people at CBC who work on my cause, and even persons that meet me on the streets is cheering on and then they keep up the topics, keep it good, then this and so, and how I know.
So, Roslyn, was your speech impaired from childhood? And did you receive any speech therapy?
Yeah, my speech was not as I tell you. I didn't recognize it till then I become a big person because my family already treat me like a normal child. Mm-hmm. So I did not recognize that. I did not recognize that I even had a disability. But then, as I get older, I recognize I have speech therapy, and then Philip, he who helped me there with my speech a lot. He helped me how to form words, how to alternate different songs to even better.
Okay. So, Roslyn, I also remember you shared with me that you got involved with the Toastmasters to help strengthen your communication skills. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I got involved in the Toastmasters. I was involved with two Toastmasters, the one at Telephone Company and the one at the singer school.
Right, that would have been the Bridgetown Toastmasters Club, who used to meet at Springer School at one point.
Yes.
And Next Generation from Cable and Wireless.
Yes, yeah. I get involved with that too to do so that I won't be afraid to speak out, so mm-hmm. that it will censor my speech also.
Right.
And I had to build my self-esteem also, because if you don't be careful and people tell you, you can't talk, you're going to a show.